Fiona Parker on 91.1 ABC Central Victoria.
Well, this month is Lymphedema Awareness Month. Yes, Lymphedema Awareness. It's an affliction you probably wouldn't know much, if anything, about unless you actually had it or someone close to you has it. So, what is it? Let's find out from one of the few lymphedema practitioners based in Central Victoria. Her name is Sarah Gill. She works at Woodend Wellness and she's with me in the studio now. Good morning.
Morning, Fiona. Thanks for having me on.
Well, let's start with the basics. What is lymphedema?
Well, if we break it down, first of all, that edema is swelling. And most of us really know swelling, like if we sprain our ankle, we get acute swelling. If we get something chronic in our joints, it could be something like a knee. That's a type of swelling as well. And then we've got a complex swelling, which is lymphedema. So that's when we get swelling that builds up between our muscle and our skin. And it basically is caused because there's the lymphatic system, which is a circulatory system, it fails to function. And then we start to get a build-up of fluid, which is a protein-rich fluid, that's our lymphatic fluid, in between our muscle and our skin. And then this process just starts to keep going on, that the limb can get bigger, and over time, the swelling can just get heavier and larger.
Mm-hmm. And that is lymphedema, is
Lymphedema is that swelling. It's a specific swelling that's caused by a failure of the lymphatic circulation system.
Who gets it?
Well, there's kind of a mix of people who get it. We don't actually know how many Australians really do have it. We think it's about 400,000, but lymphedema isn't on the Medicare benefit system, so it's quite difficult to know exact numbers. But of lymphedema itself, 10% of people who get it, that's called congenital, or it's a genetic disorder. So that's 10%. 90% of people who get it, we call that secondary lymphedema, and that's because there's been a dysfunction that's happened to the lymphatic system, which could be caused by a surgery, an accident. And of that, about under one third are non-cancer related, but about two thirds of that 90% are cancer related cases. And that usually comes down to the type of treatment that a cancer survivor's had to go through.
Like, what sort of treatment might you be more, likely to get lymphedema from?
Well,
or because of, I
yeah,
suppose.
Because of, well, one of the things that can happen is, for instance, if you have to have radiotherapy. So what can happen is that's really good in that it helps to burn the areas where those cancer cells are. But what it also does is burn these really fragile initial lymphatic vessels that sit just between the, underneath the skin attached by collagen fibres. So most of our circulatory system of the lymphatics, like 80% of it is superficial. So that's between the muscle and the skin, and 20% of it is our deeper channel. And everyone would know, especially at the moment, thinking of our immune system, of our lymph nodes and those areas. So that area can get damaged. Also, you can get a damage from the surgical procedure where they actually have to cut through, and also removal of lymph nodes.
Mm-hmm. So hence, you've got a lot of that in cancer treatment.
Yeah, but only about probably 20% of all cancer survivors develop lymphedema. So not everybody who has cancer and cancer treatments get lymphedema. Our lymphatic system is really clever in that most of the time it's really slow system. It just runs at about 20%. But then if something happens, for instance, like you get a virus, all of a sudden it'll work at 100%, starts to circulate a lot faster, and the fuller the system works, the more we can find these backdoor pathways called anastomoses, which help to really link our lymphatic system. So as a therapist, one of the things we can do as a practitioner is to really try and activate those lymphatic pathways and to load the lymphatic system. So some people, they might... So they might, I might see somebody who's come to see me after 12 years of being a cancer survivor, and they've been going really fine. Their system's just naturally taken on the load and worked really well. And then something might happen that they might have a fall. They might get a burn on their skin. They might get an insect bite. And that just creates that little teaspoon more of fluid into the system, and the body can't pick it up. And then we start this cycle, this process that comes
the
through.
Swelling. Isn't that interesting? Because that, as you say, years later.
Yes, yeah. Some people can be 12 years later. Other people might be a year, 6 months. Sometimes people present with swelling, and that can just actually be from the treatments themselves that they've gone through. But there's a lot of things that people can do to actually, a lot of really basic things to prevent lymphedema, and also just to be aware of what it is, because that's one of the things that we really want to focus on with Lymphedema Awareness Month, because we certainly know as lymphedema practitioners that early detection is the best outcome. So if I see somebody early on, any practitioner sees somebody early on, we can go, right, these are the methods we're going to take in place, and I can pretty much guarantee to them that their limb shouldn't, or their body part shouldn't, get any bigger. And then we go into a management system for that as well.
Okay, we'll talk about what people can do to prevent it and what some of the signs might be in a moment, but whereabouts in the body does it occur?
Well, Fiona, you can actually get lymphedema anywhere in the body. So I see people who have it in the face, in the neck, in the throat. So that's people often who've had head and neck cancers. Most people would have heard of course, people who will get arm swelling from breast cancer. You can also get chest swelling, abdominal swelling, leg swelling, of course, and genital edema. So it really covers any area of the body.
Mm-hmm. And what are the signs? What are the early signs?
So the early signs that you might find, and I'll say to any listener out there, if you think you've got a combination of these signs, it's really good to just speak to your GP or go online, try and find a practitioner like me through the Australasian Lymphology Association, which is lymphedema.org.au, and they'll be able to have a chat with you and really go through what needs to be done. So our first thing is tightness. So often people will present and they just... Perhaps you've had abdominal cancer or bowel cancer, and one of your legs will just start to feel a bit tight when you put your jeans on. It'll feel a bit heavy. The skin also feels tight and stretched. So to me as a practitioner, I'll see someone's skin and I can't actually move the skin. Oh. So it's almost like a balloon that's filled with air to the brim, and you just can't shift that balloon skin at all. So that's one of the things. The other one is swelling. Sometimes you can really see noticeable swelling, and that can be at the end of the day, or you might wake up in the morning and your arm looks normal, but by the end of the day it's a bit swollen, might be hard to put your rings on. Another thing is aching. So a lot of people who present with lymphedema will say, oh, I've just had this ache in my arm for months. And that's the start of this lymphedema process happening. It's really important to know that you often don't see the physical signs of it before the cellular signs have taken action. So often it's happening before the physical signs are
even there. So you can feel it, as you say, that tightness.
Yeah, the tightness, the heaviness, but your arm still may not be getting larger over time. The other thing is cellulitis, and often people will present recurrently to perhaps an emergency with a bout of cellulitis, which is really chronic inflammation, infection of the skin. And it's often once they've presented a few times to hospital, somebody might say, oh, I think you've got lymphedema. Like a diagnosis of lymphedema is then made. So they're the four factors. If you're feeling tightness, swelling, aching, or you've had recurrent cellulitis, there is a possibility that your lymphatic system isn't functioning as well as it should, and that then you could develop lymphedema.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Sarah Gill this morning, a lymphedema practitioner, on this Lymphedema Awareness Month, and I'm certainly learning a lot more about this affliction as we head on through our chat today. So thank you, Sarah, already for sharing all that info with us. So once you're diagnosed, once you've been to the doctor and you've gone, you know, there's this swelling or I'm feeling a bit off and you've been diagnosed with lymphedema, how is it then treated?
Yeah, well, the first thing you really want to do is find an accredited practitioner like myself, and there's other accredited lymphedema practitioners in our Central Vic region, and there is also some public clinics as well. So to find a practitioner to start with, if you go on to lymphedema.org.au, there's find a practitioner, and that's somebody who's accredited and qualified to treat lymphedema. Lymphedema, there is no cure for it, but it really is treatable. And as I said before, the earlier we get onto it, the best outcomes we're going to have. So as a practitioner, we break the phase into two. So we have a reduction phase, which we're really going to try and reduce the swelling in the body part. And we might do that through a number of methods. One of them is manual lymphatic drainage, which is a beautiful technique. It's a really soft technique where you're just trying to move the skin a little bit, very gentle, only about the weight of a 20-cent coin. And what that does is pull on the collagen fibers. It opens up that initial lymphatic vessel that starts to draw in some fluid, and it actually helps to load the lymphatic system to work a little bit faster, like I said before. And also it helps to change the tissue pressure in between the muscle of the skin. So that's a really important thing. We want to change that tissue pressure. A practitioner will perform manual lymphatic drainage on someone, but they'll also often give the person some self-lymphatic drainage to do at home. So we want to create patient autonomy. We don't just want to have people coming to us all the time. The other thing we might do is some bandaging, and there's all different types of bandaging around now. There's some Mobidermic bandaging, which stimulates the lymph. There's other single-use bandages that we can do. We can do some lymphatic taping. We can use compression wraps. So there's all of these new devices that there could be somebody listening out there who's got a pair of compression garments that they got 12 years ago that is sitting there that they couldn't put on, and they're like, well, what's the point of this? So what I'd like to really say to people is that there's lots of new options for treatment. Other options for treatment are some low-level laser therapy, which helps to break up fibrosis you can get from radiotherapy, lymph taping, and also it's called sequential intermatic sequential intermittent pneumatic pumps. I must prefer to say SIPP. And what that is, it's like you put your leg into a plastic sleeping bag, and it inflates at different pressure levels from the bottom up, and that really helps to stimulate your lymphatic system and give you some good compression. So once a practitioner is reduced, we'll also then look at a maintenance phase, and that will involve some compression garments. It involves really good skincare because we want to keep skin integrity at its best. Exercise is really important for people who have lymphedema, because when you move your muscle, you're creating a muscle pump, which helps to change tissue pressure and stimulate the lymph. And the other thing is really good nutrition.
Excellent. So that should be easy enough.
That should be easy enough. I know it covers a lot, and that's why you need to go to a practitioner, because we will guide by looking at you and looking at the condition that you're in, how we will treat it. Mm-hmm. We don't bandage every patient. We don't wrap every patient. We don't do laser therapy on every patient, but we might use a combination of those treatments to try and get the best option for that patient. And often there's a bit of a trial process where we might try something, not getting a great result from that, but this really gives you a good result.
Just mindful we have to move on at 7 minutes to 10. So finally, Sarah, what can people do to prevent it?
To prevent it, what they really need to do is, first of all, be aware of those four symptoms, which is tightness, swelling, aching, and cellulitis. You can't prevent it so much, but if you keep yourself at a good body weight and you have good nutrition and you exercise regularly, that's going to really help to move your lymphatic system. And then, there's not really a prevention as such, but there is really good treatment and management protocols.